That'll
This
be
conference will now be recorded.
This translation that will be new, I think, for pretty much everyone. I want to read just a couple of items from the preface of the translation, because I want to give you just a little bit of a heads up on some of the things that are going to be different for you. And in the preface to this translation, Dr. Fox has included a quote, and it says this: read the Bible as though it were something entirely unfamiliar, as though it had not been set before you ready-made. Face the book with a new attitude, as something new. Let whatever may occur between yourself and it. You do not know which of its sayings and images will overwhelm and mold you, but hold yourself open. Do not believe anything a priori. Do not disbelieve anything a priori. Read aloud the words written in the book in front of you. Hear the word you utter and let it reach you. And so he tells us the purpose of this work is to draw the reader into the world of the Hebrew Bible through the power of its language. And what he's trying to do, this is an English translation. It's different from the King James, it's different from the NIV, it's very readable. But what he's attempted to do is maintain the cultural aspects of Hebrew. And the idea is that not only are the words inspired, but the way that the words are put together in sentences and in phrases and in paragraphs, it is all inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so not only do the words convey meaning, but the way that the words are constructed and put together convey meaning. And so you're going to listen for things like repetition of lines and of words and of phrases. You're going to listen for allusions, for alliteration, the repetition of consonant sounds, A-A-A, B-B-B, and for types of wordplay. I want to just mention at the beginning that in this translation, he has not tried to anglicize the names. So just for example, we're going to encounter a name in Genesis chapter 3. It's the name Eve. But instead of the English term Eve, he's retained the Hebrew term, which is Hava. So you're going to hear some distinct differences there. And lastly, I want to make just a note about, I'm going to share my screen for those of you who are watching so that you can actually see the translation. And so just a reminder about the name of God. In the beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, we have the name of God, Elohim. And it's just translated God in our English translations, and he's done that in this one. But there are other names for God. One of them is, it's four consonants. It is going to show up in this translation as YHWH. We translate that in the English Bible as capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Lord. In some translations, it is Jehovah. Some translations, the Jews, the Hebrews, would say it as Adonai, which also means Lord. I'm going to pronounce it as Yahweh in our readings. So I just want to give you that heads up. If you're looking, if you're watching and you see YHWH, I'm going to pronounce that as Yahweh. All right. So with that, let's pray and we'll get started with Genesis chapter 1. Heavenly Father, we come before you looking into your word as your word and asking for your blessing in our time together. Lord, reveal yourself to us. Draw us close to yourself. We ask that through the Lord Jesus Christ, you would cause your Holy Spirit to work in us, to give us a fresh perspective on your word, and a fresh conviction over its truth. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this is the word of the Lord. At the beginning of God's creating of the heavens and the earth, when the earth was wild and waste, darkness over the face of ocean, rushing Spirit of God hovering over the face of the waters, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw the light, that it was good. God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. There was setting, there was dawning, one day. God said, "Let there be a dome amid the waters, and let it separate waters from waters." God made the dome. And separated the waters that were below the dome from the waters. God called the dome heaven. There was setting, there was dawning, second day. God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered to one place, and let the dry land be seen." It was so. God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters he called seas. God saw that it was good. God said, "Let the earth sprout forth with sprouting growth, plants that seed forth seeds, fruit trees that yield fruit after their kind, and in which is their seed upon the earth." It was so. The earth brought forth sprouting growth, plants that seed forth seeds after their kind, trees that yield fruit, in which is their seed after their kind. God saw that it was good. There was setting, there was dawning, third day. God said, "Let there be lights in the dome of the heavens to separate the day from the night, that they may be for signs for set times, for days and years. And let them be for lights in the dome of the heavens to provide light upon the earth." It was so. God made two great lights, the greater light for ruling the day, and the smaller light for ruling the night, and the stars. God placed them in the dome of the heavens to provide light upon the earth, to rule the day and the night, to separate the light from the darkness. God saw that it was good. There was setting, there was dawning, fourth day. God said, "Let the waters swarm with a swarm of living beings, and let fowl fly above the earth, across the dome of the heavens." God created the great sea serpents and all living beings that crawl about, with which the water swarmed after their kind, and all winged fowl and after their kind. God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Bear fruit and be many, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the fowl be many on earth." There was setting, there was dawning, fifth day. God said, "Let the earth bring forth living beings after their kind, herd animals, crawling things, and the wildlife of the earth after their kind." It was so. God made the wildlife of the earth after their kind, and the herd animals after their kind, and all crawling things of the soil after their kind. God saw that it was good. God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the heavens, animals, all the earth, and all crawling things that crawl about upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God did he create it. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them. God said to them, "Bear fruit and be many, and fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the heavens, and all living things that crawl about upon the earth." God said, Here, I give you all plants that bear seeds that are upon the face of all the earth, and all trees in which there is tree fruit that bears seeds. For you shall they be for eating, and also for all the living things of the earth, for all the fowl of the heavens, for all that crawls about upon the earth in which there is living being, all green plants for eating. It was so. Now God saw all that he had made, and here it was exceedingly good. There was setting, there was dawning, the sixth day. Chapter 2. Thus were finished the heavens and the earth with all of their array. God had finished on the seventh day his work that he had made, and then he ceased on the seventh day from all his work that he had made. God gave the seventh day his blessing, and he hallowed it, for on it he ceased from all his work that by creating God had made. These are the begettings of the heavens and the earth, their being created. At the time of Yahweh, God's making of earth and heaven, no bush of the field was yet on earth. No plant of the field had yet sprung up. For Yahweh, God, had not made it rain upon earth. And there was no human, Adam, to till the soil, Adama. But a surge would well up from the ground and water all the face of the soil. And Yahweh, God, formed the human of dust from the soil. He blew into his nostrils the breath of life, and the human became a living being. Yahweh, God, planted a garden in Eden, land of pleasure, in the east, and there he placed the human whom he had formed. Yahweh, God, caused to spring up from the soil every type of tree, desirable to look at and good to eat, and the tree of life in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowing of good and evil. Now, a river goes out from Eden to water the garden, and from there it divides and becomes four stream heads. The name of the first one is Pishon, spreader, that is the one that circles through all the land of Havilah, where gold is. The gold of that land is good. There too are bdellium and the precious stone, carnelian. The name of the second river is Gihon, gusher, that is the one that circles through all the land of Cush. The name of the third river is Hidekel, Tigris, that is the one that goes to the east of Assyria, and the fourth river, that is Perat, Euphrates. Yahweh, God, took the human and set him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to watch it. Yahweh, God, commanded concerning the human, saying, "From every other tree of the garden you may eat, yes, eat. But from the tree of the knowing of good and evil you are not to eat from it. For on the day that you eat from it, you must die, yes, die." Now Yahweh God said, "It is not good for the human to be alone. I will make him a helper corresponding to him." So Yahweh God formed from the soil every living thing of the field and every fowl of the heavens, and brought each to the human to see what he would call it. And whatever the human called it as a living being, that became its name. The human called out names for every herd animal, and for the fowl of the heavens, and for every living thing of the field. But for the human, there could be found no helper corresponding to him. So Yahweh, God, caused a deep slumber to fall upon the human so that he slept. He took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Yahweh, God, built the rib that he had taken from the human into a woman and brought her to the human. The human said, "This time, she is it, bone from my bones, flesh from my flesh. She shall be called woman, Isha. For from man, Ish, she was taken. Therefore a man leaves his father and his mother and clings to his wife, and they become one flesh. Now the two of them, the human and his wife, were nude, yet they were not ashamed." End of chapter 2. Let me make one note. In the text, Dr. Fox has included, you heard me just there at verse 23 say, "She shall be called woman, Isha." And so what he's doing there is giving you the English term, woman, but he's also giving us the Hebrew term, Isha. And the reason that he's doing that in particular places is because he wants you to see and hear the relationship. Woman, Isha, man, Ish. Chapter 3. Now the snake was more shrewd than all the living things of the field that Yahweh, God, had made. It said to the woman, "Even though God said, 'You are not to eat from any of the trees in the garden,' the woman said to the snake, 'From the fruit of the other trees in the garden we may eat. But from the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you are not to eat from it, and you are not to touch it, lest you die.' The snake said to the woman, 'Die. You will not die. Rather, God knows that on the day that you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will become like gods, knowing good and evil.' The woman saw that the tree was good for eating, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to contemplate. She took from its fruit and ate, and gave also to her husband beside her, and he ate. The eyes of the two of them were opened, and they knew then that they were nude. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. Now they heard the sound of Yahweh, God, who was walking about in the garden at the breezy time of the day. And the human and his wife hid themselves from the face of Yahweh, God, amid the trees of the garden. Yahweh, God, called to the human and said to him, 'Where are you?' He said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I am nude, and so I hid myself.' He said, 'Who told you that you are nude? From the tree about which I command you not to eat, have you eaten?' The human said, 'The woman whom you gave to be beside me, she gave me from the tree, and so I ate.' Yahweh, God, said to the woman, 'What is this that you have done?' The woman said, 'The snake enticed me, and so I ate.' Yahweh, God, said to the snake, 'Because you have done this, damned be you from all the animals and from all the living things of the field. Upon your belly shall you walk, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. They will bruise you on the head, you will bruise them in the heel.' To the woman he said, 'I will multiply your pain from your pregnancy. With pains you shall bear children. Toward your husband will be your lust, yet he will rule over you.' To Adam he said, 'Because you have hearkened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, you are not to eat from it. Damned be the soil on your account. With painstaking labor shall you eat from it all the days of your life. Thorn and sting shrub, let it spring up for you when you seek to eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow shall you eat bread until you return to the soil, for from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust shall you return. The human called his wife's name Hava, life-giver, for she became the mother of all the living. Now Yahweh God made Adam and his wife coats of skins and clothed them. Yahweh God said, here, the human has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. So now, lest he send forth his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live throughout all the ages. So Yahweh God sent him away from the Garden of Eden to work the soil from which he had been taken. He drove the human out and caused to dwell eastward of the Garden of Eden the winged sphinxes and the flashing, ever-turning sword to watch over the way to the tree of life. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God abides forever. Amen. Well, those are the first three chapters of Genesis, and this concludes our reading for today. I'll give just a minute. If there are any questions, feel free to ask those now. I know those several things there were probably different for you. If you need any clarification on anything, please let me know. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for spending a little time to get together with me today and in God's Word. And we'll do this again on Thursday. We'll read Genesis chapters 4 through 6. I hope you all have a blessed day. Let me pray for us and then we'll close. Father in heaven, again, we ask that you would cause your word to bear fruit in our lives. Strengthen us, Father, by your Spirit, so that we might live for the glory of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Brian.
You're very welcome. You'll have a good day. You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye, guys. Bye-bye.